Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ number 92. That's Ba'ez Pnimi joint shir number 92. We're in a book setting a table for two. We're in a chapter called The Legs That Hold Up the Table, the Yesodis, the Foundations, six legs on this table. And we're up to principle number four. We started to mention it in the previous shir. And that is the concept that it's all in your hands. You're not a passive victim. You have a tremendous amount of power to recreate your own marriage in the most positive way. And even though you technically represent 50% of the partnership, husband or wife, but you can single-handedly improve your marriage 100% or more. I'm going to say that again because it's hard. It's a concept. They're going to say, what do you mean? I'm only half the party. I can't fix my whole marriage. And it is true, certain things your spouse needs to do to affect things, no question about it. But this doesn't take away the fact that it is indeed all in your hands. To place most people, except, I'm going to say it almost every single time when we do this chapter, barring an abuse situation, that you have an outside, objective, healthy mentor, Rav, that assesses in your marriage that you're married to an actual abuser. Barring that, 95% of us that are flawed individuals with normal negative midos that we need to work on, to say that, oh, Nebuch, I'm a carbon to this marriage, and this is the way it is, and I'm serious nefesh that I have to accept Hashem's will, if we look ourselves in the mirror, it's a bunch of nonsense. We are just not willing to shoulder the responsibility that we ourselves need to do. We, even in single half of us, 50% of the partnership, we can single-handedly improve the marriage 100% and even more than 100%. Now, if your husband or wife, the other party listening to this, or tries to listen to this, and they could help you with your campaign to improve your marriage, and you mentioned you have this path and you invite them to join that path with you, that's great. That's great. Then these strides will come more quickly. You'll compliment each other. You'll encourage each other. You help each other along. It's much easier that way. There's no question about it. What happens if he or she declines? Doesn't make a difference. They're not inclined anyway to join you in the beginning, but don't give up. Of course, it's nice to have that cooperation with your husband or wife, that they work on them, their part too, and their participation. But you can accomplish a worthy goal that you set for yourself, no matter what, whether your husband or wife is on board or not on board. Yes, it may take a little longer. Believe it or not, it won't take that much longer. It'll take less time than you think. You think it'll take you years and years if you're to get your husband or wife to go on board and to chap. No, it's much less time, much, much less time, if you do everything right. You have all the time in the world. Nothing should derail you. You commit to the success of your project. It's absolute. It's unconditional. And you're not going to fold like a cheap camera, they say, was the expression those days. No one even knows what a camera is. Certainly not a cheap camera. But it folds very quickly. You don't fold at the first sign of a setback or a failure. You don't fold after the first 100 signs of a setback or a failure. You keep at it. Your husband or wife will join you because it's contagious. They'll sense it. They'll see it. And everyone will cash in. It'll be a win-win situation. So it's not whether or not you take this path together with your husband or wife or not. It's what you're doing is because of what you need to do, because it's your obligation. It's your obligation to Hashem and it's your obligation to yourself. And this is a big insight. It's not because you expect reciprocal treatment from your husband or wife. It's not because you demand it from them. In other words, it's not because I'm going to be a bigger mensch. What the goal is that my husband or wife will become, in turn, a mensch to me. Now, of course, ultimately, mida keneged mida, that's bound to happen anyway. But your main goal is whatever the results are on my spouse's end, I'm doing what I need to do because I owe it to Hashem and I owe it to myself. It's not easy to stay the course and to have this high ideal in your mind when your husband or wife is throwing out hurtful things at you, or they're showing insensitive behavior towards you, or insensitive, hurtful comments towards you. But if you remain strong and you don't fall into the trap of hurting back mida keneged mida, if you do that and you fall back into that, then your marriage will not get better. You'll go into that merry-go-round like a hamster spinning the wheel, and nothing will be accomplished. However, if you don't fall into this, and you don't fall into that merry-go-round, and Hashem sees your behavior for what it is, you're giving of yourself to Hashem, you're placing a wise investment into your future, you're acting independent, it doesn't make a difference right now whether my husband or wife is provoking me or not provoking me, I'm taking that higher road, Hashem sees it, has nachas ruach from it, and He will pay you back in a positive way. If you break that vicious cycle, I shouldn't start the process. It's my husband's fault. He has to start the process because he hurt me. I didn't hurt him. I mentioned one example, but it goes both ways. You have to pull aside from that and say, Yeh Mashiach, Hashem wants me to do my part. Ein hadover toloi ella bi. It's a Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph. Ein hadover toloi ella bi. The matter depends only on me. There's a saying here, a beautiful saying, he quotes from somebody here, from a book, The Art of Marriage. The secret to a good marriage is not to find the perfect partner. It's rather to be the perfect partner. I don't like the word perfect because no one's perfect, but you get what it was saying. You write your own resume. People are busy writing the resume, you know, for the other person to build up your resume, or someone building up your resume of what that other person who you are thinking about getting married to should look like. And everyone builds their resume that way. Marry me because I'm this and this and this and this. No one writes their own self-resume of what they want to become. But that's what it is. You choose your behaviors based on what is right, and what you ought to do, what Hashem wants from you, not by considerations of retaliating or reciprocating or anything like that. That's principle number four. Leg number four that holds up the table. Principle five is create your own reality. What does it mean, create your own reality? The Baal Shem Tizvart on Perkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, Da Ma'ala Ma'ala Mimcha, usually means know what's above you. Hashem is above you, watching you. The Baal Shem Tiv teaches the Mishnah differently. Da, you need to know. Ma'ala Ma'ala, that everything that comes from above, the reality that Hashem structured for you, Mimcha, is from you. It especially applies by marriage, where the Torah says, Ezer Kenegdoi, and it's a help opposite you. And a Chazal learn in Yevamos, Zacha, if you are worthy, Ezer, your wife will be a Ezer, a helper. Loi Zacha, if you're not worthy, Kenegdoi, she'll oppose you, clash with you. Goes both ways. Which means, like Mishlei says, that when a person favors a man's ways, even his opponents, Yashlem Imai, even his opponents will make peace with him. And Rabbi Yochanan says this refers to a wife and the household. If Hashem favors the way of a person, then his wife and the whole household, or the husband and the whole household, will make peace with you. Make peace with you. The Chidah talks about it a lot. He explains this, that there's a complex relationship of one can being an ally and an opponent at the same time, and that's people in your own home. Your wife, your husband, your children. So when a man behaves properly and he finds favor in Hashem's eyes, then the people who are also his opponents, meaning his opponents in addition to being his allies, will live peacefully with him. Then the Tziv has an interesting pshat on Kenegdoi, Eza Kenegdoi, that you're both at the same time. But the idea is, this works both for men and for women. It's your conduct that determines and shapes the reality of the situation you're facing. You create your own reality, but you also, Hashem gave you Bechira. You are active in creating your own reality. What we normally do is we create it passively. We accept it here. You're not supposed to say it's all Bashert. Hashem says, Bashert, Bashert, I want you to do what you have to do. And then I'll talk about Bashert. You have to do what you have to do. Actively create your own reality. There's always something meaningful and significant that you can do, whether indirectly, whether directly, whether immediately, whether together, to get a more positive response from your husband or from your wife. Again, barring abuse or a serious situation like that, where it's very clear that no matter what you do, you're going to get bashed, then you figure out the right people to talk to evaluate it. And if that's the case, then it's a mitzvah to leave the relationship, and it's a mitzvah to people help you leave the relationship if you're dealing with something like that, where no matter what you do, you're going to get smashed. We always have to repeat that part. But in 95% plus of the cases, it's not like that. And you could always do meaningful things that could help the relationship and make it better. Before you criticize others, look inward. Before you criticize your husband or your wife, look inward. What am I doing anything to elicit this behavior that I find upsetting? And correct it. Correct it and then pursue this better behavior consistently, constantly, and thoroughly. If a wife knows she was point blank a nag, nudging, kvetching, she sees it, she knows it, then she says, well, I forget, it's irrelevant, my husband behaving this way or that way. I'm not going to be a nag anymore. I'm going to talk respectfully. Husband, same idea. I was insensitive and very abrupt. That's not who I am. I'm going to be considerate, loving, and understanding. Look inward first. Look inward first. Are you causing this behavior in your spouse? You're acting wrongly, and that's why your husband or wife is acting negatively towards you. And barring that abuse case where no matter what you do, you're going to get treated like garbage, that's a separate issue. And most of you, please be honest with yourselves. If it's real abuse, it's real abuse, and you go to a professional to evaluate that. But for most of you, you can't hang on to that all the time, where your husband or wife does not act properly and they say stupid things, or even if they blow their top, or they're really being inconsiderate and yell abuse, 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 then it cheapens it. It cheapens it. The people who are hearing this that were actually abused will give it to you over the head. You call this abuse? Once in a while in a blue moon, or even not so blue moon, not acting your best self, that's what you call abuse? They will be very, very insulted and hurt by you calling certain things abuse when it's normal, flawed behaviors. So be very careful and not just assume something's abuse because someone behaved, your husband or wife just did not behave right with you. Even if it's a habit, it's a bad habit. Get a professional to determine that. If that is the case, then indeed all these rules change. But Kolzman, it does not. You have to accept the fact that it's very possible and probable that your own behaviors, you're being over lifnei iver. You're not behaving properly. That's triggering a bad behavior in your husband or wife. Rish Lakish says this in Bav Metzia, Kuf Zayin of a Beis. Kishoit atzmecha v'achakach shoit acherim. Adorn yourself first. Correct your own behaviors first. And then correct other people's behaviors. This is Rish Lakish, the previous master robber, who said this. We have the ability to change our relationships and our interactions. This is not something where Hashem says, just rely on me and I'll take care of it. You can ask Hashem for help, yes. But you don't go blindly. You don't go blindly and just say, oh, it's all in Hashem's hands. No, Hashem is requiring you. You got to put in your work. There's a person called Eric Hoffer. Rabbi Beryl Wine once recommended it to read it. He's big pikeach, a non-Jew, but a big pikeach. And he says like this, judgment consists not in seeing through deceptions and evil intentions, but in being able to awaken the decency dormant in every person. People think that they're sharp in their judgments by the fact that they see through somebody's baloney. That's part of it. Yes, that could be part of it. But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. The true healthy judgment is when you see something, a potential that's dormant in another person, and you do everything you can to say that I will actualize it. I will bring it upward. I will bring it out. I will bring it out. I will help. I'll do everything I can to make this better, to bring out the best in the other person. This Eric Hoffer said something also. I'm going to end with this. You know, this should really be in the Power of Words series about the categories of verbal abuse. He said a line, remember this, our sense of power is more vivid when we break a man's spirit than when we win his heart. People use words in a hurtful way because it feels like it's power. It's a drug. We feel a sense of power when we could break somebody. We don't feel that power when we bring someone else's potential. We have to learn how to make that as at least equally or more enjoyable than trying to break a person. Bracha natzlacha.